pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you.
You've heard it by Willie Nelson. You've heard it by many, many others too. Glenn, Roy Orbison. There, Glenn Campbell's take on Pretty Paper. Beautiful song, beautiful singing. The man could do them all. We pay tribute, we pay homage to an unbelievably talented, wonderful pop music icon, Glenn Campbell, who passed away yesterday after a long struggle with Alzheimer's. Age 81, passed away in Nashville, where he had been in a care center for some time. And who better to talk with to remember the man, to pay tribute to him, than Jeff Dayton, who was Glenn's guitarist and band leader for 15 years, right into about 2002. And Jeff, thank you for spending this moment. It's not an easy time for you or anybody who knew Glenn Campbell very well. We all feel like we know him, and in a way we do, in a very real sense. His music will always be with us, but you got a chance to see the inner man and to be with him, to know his moods, to know what really moved him as a human being and a musician. So we're so fortunate to have you with us, and thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Stan, for having me on the show today. It's really been an honor.
It's our pleasure. So many tributes, as you would imagine. Yours, certainly paramount among them. Dolly Parton says, Glenn, one of the greatest voices there ever was in the business, and he was one of the greatest musicians. He was a wonderful session musician, notes Polly, as well as a lot of people don't realize that, but he could play anything, and he could play it really well. Charlie Daniels, thank you, Glenn Campbell, for sharing your talent with us for so many years. May you rest in peace, my friend. You will never be forgotten, no doubt about that. And we'll hear from Jimmy Webb via his webpage today, and so many more. But all the tributes are heartfelt, Jeff, and just an amazing guy. So, what are your emotions right now? At the outset of the show, obviously one of grief, and we're all in mourning over that. But a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving for having been with this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been trying to figure out how to say how I feel, but I'm kind of walled up right now, but the seams are busting loose.
Yeah, I understand it.
You know, it's good. It's going to pour out here pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. You're a good guy. You're a tough guy to do this. Thank you. We have to remember Glenn Campbell. Hey, he was on the big screen, too, wasn't he, Jeff? A lot of movies. I count about 11. Going back to, 1967, something called The Cool Ones, starred as Patrick in that one. And, we mentioned True Grit. That was a big deal for him in 69, huh?
Yeah, it was. The story is kind of fun. He was doing his TV show, and there was a girl that would come to the taping in Los Angeles every week, and she was a huge fan of his. And one week she came to the taping, and she brought her dad, who was John Wayne.
Okay.
And John Wayne said, Glenn, you remind me of me. How'd you like to be in a movie?
Wow.
And so Glenn got, you know, the opportunity of a lifetime, and he said, he made a deal with John Wayne. John says, I'll tell you what, Glenn, you don't act and I won't sing.
Deal.
And Glenn said, I kept my end of the bargain so well that I made John Wayne look so good that he won his only Oscar.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. How could anybody doubt that? Other movies in which...
Movie history, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm just ticking off some of the titles, the movie titles in which Glenn made an appearance, sometimes in a starring role. Norwood, 1970. Oh. A Strange Homecoming, 1974. How about that one, huh?
Yeah, the Norwood was the one where he said, I ended up in this movie, I don't know where they found the script, but it was about a guy with a chicken. He said, what was I doing in that?
Okay, guy with a chicken. Strange Homecoming, 1974. Christmas in Disneyland, 1976. He starred as Grandpa Jones in that one. Good Lord. Any Which Way You Can, 1980, starred as singer at Lion Dollar Cowboy Bar. Wow. Hallelujah Gospel.
That was a Clint Eastwood movie, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hallelujah Gospel in 83. Uphill All the Way, 1986. Rock-a-Doodle, a movie from 1991, starred as Chanticleer. And Havana Gila, the movie, 2012, starred as himself. And then, essentially, I think a documentary, Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me, 2014. And Jeff, tell us about this, in which Glenn starred as himself.
Well, back when he was doing the Goodbye Tour, you know, we had the Good Time Show, and then 1991 we did the Good Time Tour, which was a package show and just an amazing experience for all of us. And then they did the Goodbye Tour, and they were in Nashville for several of the shows, and I was part of the shows, and you know, part of being there with everyone. And they asked me to be part of the filming of that movie. And they had said to Glenn, "We're going to do it." He said, "What are we doing?" He said, "We're doing a movie about your life." He goes, "Good, I'll be me."
Fascinating.
And that's where that came from. He was mostly aware of what was going on, but often confused. And I think that, you know, it was a wonderful chance for America to already loved and knew him and felt like they were close to him, get to know him even better and see the struggle he was going through.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it really did a lot to help the Alzheimer's research cause and bring to attention, you know, the commonality so many people have had. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said that they've had a loss due to Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So that movie did a lot for that, I think.
Marvelous. Did Glenn Campbell know Roy Orbison very well?
Yes, I know he knew him, and Glenn was a chameleon vocally, and I hope I can remember everyone, but he used to be able to do voices. Mm-hmm. He would do Donald Duck. He would do Pat Buttram. He would do, he could sing like, or talk like Mel Taylor. And he did Sinatra. He did Roy Orbison. We used to do Crying in the show, and it was a masterful version. We used to do Marty Robbins, like any Marty Robbins, El Paso, Hank Sr. I mean, I remember at the Ryman one night, the white light was shining down from above, and you would have thought it was Hank sitting in heaven saying, "Go get him, Glenn, sing the song."
Wow.
Doing Lovesick Blues. It was just one of those, the same spot that Hank stood when he sang at the
Opry. Ooh, that's chilling.
Wow. So he could do, and he did Roy Orbison so well that it was just unbelievable. It's only make-believe. It was the Conway thing that he just killed it.
Yeah. Orbison's song.
You know, we were talking about his vocal a little bit, too, you know, like earlier on By the Time I Get to Phoenix. It came out like butter and honey. It was just so smooth and pleasant, and this is years before auto-tune or any of that pitch-correcting stuff that they've come out with.
Jeff, explain what that is, people who don't know.
Well, there's a software in digital recording that allows you to pitch correct a note. So you and I could sing, you know, like we were talking, but then somebody could come along and make a melody out of it. And you can tune the note to a note, an actual note. So instead of a vocal person saying, "Well, this and that and the other thing," it comes out, "Well, this and that and the other thing."
I still can make a hit record.
They do that to almost all the records now.
Wow.
Well, yeah, right.
Oh, man.
But that's a common practice today.
No kidding.
And it wasn't even invented in Glenn's time. So when you heard an artist like Sinatra or Glenn Campbell or Barbara Streisand or anybody who just had that gift of an amazing vocal, Elton John and John Lennon, you know, you heard the real deal.
The real deal. Orbison, Roy Orbison, 19, he had a big hit, a number of them. You mentioned that Glenn did some of his song sets. Dream Baby was a big hit for Roy Orbison. And in 1971, Glenn Campbell took a run at it, and here's how it went.
Baby, how
Glenn Campbell singing Roy Orbison there, and Jeff Dayton, that's Glenn making that song his own. I love that rendition as much as I like Roy's.
It really is something, and I was thinking about, we were talking about how Glenn put longing in his songs, you know, the Lonesome Jimmy Webb, and mm-hmm. that's a longing song. I mean, it's how long must I dream? It's just, it's Glenn to a T. I think it's just great, and it was always fun when we did that, but we didn't do that that often. I mean, mm-hmm. that would be one of what I called the B hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that were in there between his huge hits and then that gap that we mentioned earlier and then the huge hits.
Mm-hmm. Well, the B hits were pretty great. I'd mark them as A. It's just
yeah, I know.
Amazing.
You could do a whole show and nobody would mind except that they'd miss Bush and Tallon.
We've talked about Jimmy Webb so much, and rightly so, because he and Glenn Campbell were so inextricably joined with their music and the artist. Jimmy wrote on his website today, Jimmy Webb, "Well, that moment has come that we have known was an inevitable certainty, and that yet stings like a sudden catastrophe. Let the world note that a great American influence on pop music, the American Beatle, the secret link between so many artists and records that we can only marvel, has passed and cannot be replaced. My friend and brother in music, Glenn Campbell." And Jimmy goes on to say, "When it came to friendship, Glenn was the real deal. He spoke my name," says Jimmy Webb, "from 10,000 stages. He was my big brother, my protector, my co-culprit, my John crying in the wilderness. Nobody liked a Jimmy Webb song as much as Glenn. And yet he was generous with other writers, Larry Weiss, Alan Toussaint, John Hartford. You have to look hard for a bad song on a Glenn Campbell album. He was giving people their money's worth before it became fashionable." Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it really is. It's true. And Glenn was a giving person in every way.
Yeah, he was. That man Webb, what a writer, what an intellect he is. And we are scheduled to have Jimmy Webb on this show early next month, and we're looking very much forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy's a brilliant guy.
He is brilliant is the word. Let's talk about Jeff Dayton, Rhinestone Cowboy from 1971. This one hit the top on both the pop and the country charts. And in a very real way, this is autobiographical. This is Glenn singing about Glenn in a way, isn't it?
It kind of is. It's funny because I thought it was later on, maybe 76, but maybe it was 71. But Glenn heard Larry Weiss, you just heard Jimmy Webb mention Larry Weiss's name. Larry wrote the song. Larry is actually a friend of mine now, but he put out his own record of it, and it was playing on the radio in Los Angeles, and Glenn heard it. And Glenn, back in those days, people would record each other's songs. Pat Boone did By the Time I Get Phoenix, and so did Johnny Rivers. And, lots of people have covered lots of different songs, and we know that today. So that's how Glenn found songs sometimes. Other people would have them, the Don Ho story and all of that. Mm-hmm. So he heard Larry's version of Rhinestone Cowboy, and he said, "I want to record that."
Yeah, he did. And you know what? He did, and took it right to the top.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway, where hustle's the name of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain. There's been a load of compromising on the road to my horizon, but I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me, like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, inside my shoe. There'll be a load of compromising on the road to my horizon, but I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me. Like a rhinestone cowboy riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Rhinestone cowboy getting cards and letters from people I don't even know, and offers coming over the phone.
There's a song that raced up the country and the pop music charts in 1975, number one on both charts. Larry Weiss wrote that song. And Glenn talked about when he decided, when he thought it was time to record that song. And
they're not sure of it. I heard it on the album cut station in L.A., Rhinestone Cowboy. Wow. I almost wrecked my car. Because the song had that kind of thing on, because, and I'm going to be where the lights are shining on me. Well, wow, 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 who wrote that song? Larry Weiss wrote it, the guy that had the album out.
Yep, there it is. So yeah. That's mine.
And that's old Glenn for you.
That talks.
And Larry Weiss is from New York, and that was really telling the story about a guy who was down and out. And again, there's that common theme of some kind of longing for something better.
Right. Glenn Campbell always striving as a young man and finally getting that traction and making it. And that song, it resonated with him. And so get me to the recording studio. This is what I want to do. And boy, that was one of his biggest, no doubt about it. So
indeed.
Yeah. Well, you know, looking at his trophy case, Jeff Dayton, my goodness, what this man amassed in the way of awards over his career. It's just it's just breathtaking. It truly is. Let's see. Glenn Campbell amassed a legacy career of 44 pop hits, 79 country hits, 42 adult contemporary, 6 Grammy Awards, including one for a track that he co-wrote. That's I'm Not Gonna Miss You. That was his last chart hit, I think. Yeah. So, again, a music doctor, not a music writer, Jeff Dayton. Again, tell us exactly what Glenn meant by that. He didn't really sit down and write a song start to finish. He would doctor them, huh? He'd tinker with them and improve them.
Well, he had the luxury of being a star and people bringing him songs. And if there was something about it that he didn't quite jive with, then he could tweak it to fit what he wanted in a hit. But Glenn actually was a writer, and I think it's on the Ghost in the Canvas album that he did towards the very end, there's a song called A Better Place, and I'm not positive, but I believe in my heart that Glenn wrote that song all by himself without any help from anybody.
Really? He could do it if he had to.
Oh, well, he could, and he and I wrote together. We have several songs that we worked on, and he was so influential in their construction that really almost becomes a co-writer right there by itself. Phrasing and chords and everything else, you know, just the way the words come out and filtering out the words that you don't need and keeping it to the heart of the song. And it just, so I think he was a writer, but he just used his strengths to pick great songs.
Yeah, and we're going to hear Glenn himself talk about the craft of songwriting here.
I never was much of a writer. I'm a song doctor. And I even did that when I used to do, you know, Little Jimmy Dickens, Sleeping is Full of Bed. If I liked a song, I would take it and do it the way I would say it. So it wouldn't be awkward to me, because I had a lot of people, you sing it, it looks good on paper, but it don't sing very well. And I that's one of the first things that I noticed about my ears, that they hear that. And if it's awkward, I understand what it is, and I just smooth it up. It's something that, I don't know, I wish I could give an illustration. You know, making something awkward is It's like somebody reading a music piece of music for the first time. They're not sure of it.
Boy. The songwriter's craft there by a guy who knew his stuff. And so he'd, yeah, he'd tinker. He'd tinker with the song. And invariably...
really great... Oh, I'm sorry, Sam.
No, please go ahead. And invariably make it better, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. And he took that slow version of Don Ho's Galveston and made it up-tempo, and of course it was a smash hit. But there's a song coming up that I'm sure we're going to get to, written by Alan Toussaint, and if we haven't covered that, by the time we discuss that song, I'll share a story with you about that song.
And that song being?
A Southern Night.
Of course it has to be, right, from the Delta down there. Glenn loved that song. We'll get that up in a minute here. I want to ask you, Jeff, as you toured with Glenn, and it became apparent that he was having problems, early onset dementia, Alzheimer's, he still performed. He still got up on the stage, did he not, and would use a teleprompter to try to keep him on subject. How did that go? Were there some nights when he had an especially difficult time?
Well, you know, Glenn played his whole life, and he was learning songs and singing songs his whole life since he was 14 years old, I think. And he was on, you know, in the clubs in Albuquerque with Uncle Dick Bills and his band down there, the Sandia Mountain Boys. And he was in Colorado, and he was in Houston, and then he was in Los Angeles, and he was always performing and recording. And he had albums out long before he was well known. When he did, like, look, turn around, look at me, and some of the things from early on, and he was covering songs. He would pick up hits, and he'd do his own version, like Back Home Again in Indiana and Kentucky Means Paradise. And he probably had a brain full of stuff. I mean, I can relate because I've been singing all my life, and people are always asking me how to keep all those songs straight. And then they say, well, can you play something from three albums ago? And I'm like, I don't even remember how that goes right now.
I get it.
And I think that kind of hit him, even in the 90s when he was putting out records on MCA Records. We would have a new song like Unconditional Love, and we'd have to write, this is before teleprompters, we would take these gigantic cue cards and write the lyrics down and put them on the stage in front of Glenn so that he could, you know, get through the song. Even though he had recorded it, he hadn't assimilated it.
Did so he talk it, about it his illness, Jeff, on stage when he go out and do a performance?
No, he never did. I mean, he joked about it. I don't know if I've already shared this story, but I've been sharing stories about him for 24 hours now. But we were doing the show one night, and he called, so he goes, hey, boys, Southern Nights, 2, 3, 4, bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, Glenn, you already did Southern. What? What? I said, we already did Southern Nights. He goes, oh, I knew that. I was just seeing if you knew.
Yep.
So it was starting to slip a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of that had to be just the fact that we did so many shows.
I understand.
And you know, you're going to do certain songs, and you can't remember if that was last night or today. So
yeah.
I understand. But you know, he didn't really talk about his disease at all on stage. He just entertained.
Remembering this great guy, Glenn Campbell, with Jeff Dayton, who was with Glenn for a long time as his guitarist and his band leader. And Jeff has been so kind to kind of fight through his grief today and share with us these great stories about a great guy. We're going to take a break, come back. Hey, we're going to be playing, among other goodies, by Glenn's Southern Nights, the aforementioned big hit. Stay with us. We're right back.
Make your daily commute in style, comfort, and exceptional fuel economy with a great new car from River Valley Ford of Baldwin. The Fiesta and Focus boast nearly 40 MPGs. The midsize Fusion has sporty good looks and impressive performance. And for full-size luxury, check out the Ford Taurus. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and family choose River Valley Ford of Baldwin.
We've all heard the saying that there's no free lunch, but that's not true anymore, because when you make an appointment to tour Scandia Shores of Shoreview, you do get a free lunch, a chef-prepared meal just for you. It's all part of your tour of their exceptional facilities. This is an independent senior living community offering a welcoming atmosphere and a comfortable lifestyle. Think about never having to be alone. No worries about driving for groceries when the weather is bad. Lawn mowing, shoveling snow, meal prep, that's all taken care of for you. Scandia Shores of Shoreview is a community of friends for seniors who desire their own apartments but also like to gather for social events and activities. Call 651-415-9793 and make an appointment for a tour. That includes the free lunch made by Chef Joe. See for yourself the beautiful building and spacious apartments that include those full-size appliances and plenty of cabinets and closets. Most of all, meet the warm and friendly staff at Scandia Shores of Shoreview. Call 651-415-9793.
This is Tom from TimelyExpressions.com on KLBB Radio. Many of you have told me, I don't need a gift right now. You know, that's okay. I don't want you to buy something you don't need. What's the point in that? But when you do need that special personalized embroidered item, blanket, shirt, cap, whatever, give me a call at 612-414-3674 or check out our website. We can make sure they know how much you care, even though they won't know how you did it.
Another legend gone forever. We remember Glenn Campbell.
Here's to the people who gave me life and then showed me how to live it.
The airways full of tributes, and rightly so, to Glenn Campbell, gone now at the age of 81, passed away yesterday in Nashville after a long, long struggle with Alzheimer's disease. Our guest on the phone from Chicago right now, Jeff Dayton, is with us. Jeff has written a song, a tribute, a long goodbye song to Glenn Campbell, written some time back, Long Slow Train Out of Town, and we will play that for you a little bit later. Jeffrey, again, thank you so much for being with us today. A difficult task for you. It's 129 right now. We have, what do we have in the Twin Cities? 69 degrees, going in the upper 70s today. 100% chance of rain, probably where you are right now. Cloudy day again tomorrow. Then we recapture the sunshine come Friday. So that's a good thing. Jeff Dayton, we're talking a lot about the song Southern Nights. Like a Rhinestone Cowboy, it topped out on both the country and the pop charts. And one of Glenn's favorite songs.
It was, and he was just so fond of the way that his songs caught on after a little, you know, break in being hugely successful. He was always a big star, but these songs, it meant a lot to him. Alan Toussaint did the original version. He was the writer of it, mm-hmm. and he was from New Orleans, and he did a version with, he was a piano player, and so his style was very guitaristic, and he sang through a Leslie speaker, so it had a really unusual organ speaker kind of a sound to it. And Glenn used to imitate that sound when and it was again Glenn the chameleon vocally. And you know, we forgot to go back over the when he was Chanticleer in what was it, Rockadoodle?
I think that's it. Yes, Rockadoodle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those songs were actually composed by T.J. Kenster, who was our piano player for many years. And Glenn fit the cartoon character just fine because he was really a grown-up kid in a lot of ways. And I think that's a kind way to put it. You know, Glenn was just full of the love of life, and even towards the end, you know, he loved. They'd bring him little baby dolls in his room, and he would just love on them like they were real. And I mean, it's a sad place in life for anyone, but Glenn showed so much love. His daughter Debbie, who is oldest, was there with him all the time. She'd come from Phoenix to Nashville, where we all lived. And she'd go see her dad, and she said just, you know, shortly before he passed, she was there, and it was a beautiful day in Nashville, and she walked him outside. And he wasn't verbal at that point. He couldn't talk. He didn't know anybody's name. He couldn't say anything. He didn't really register vocally at all. And she walked outside with him to the garden there, and he turned to her and says, "Hey, can I have a cigar?" She just about fell out. I'm sure to her it meant the world to hear her daddy talk again. Oh, you know,
sure.
Southern Nights was one that Glenn, in the sound clip you just played, talked about how he would shape a song up to be the way he wanted it,
mm-hmm.
and that's what he did. And he could do that with that song. And then he called his pal Jerry Reed, which I don't know if he talked about that at all, but Jerry was the guitar player that dang me, I'll take a rope and hang me. And yep. He went to Jerry and he said, "Jerry, I need a hot lick." And Jerry goes, and Glenn goes, "How do you do that? It looks like inside out, man." And so Jerry's style of playing fit into that song the way Glenn wanted to cut it. So that's the riff that's in Southern Nights. It's actually a Jerry Reed lick.
You're giving us a guitar lesson there, Jeff Dayton, aren't you? Boy,
that Reed, I don't know if you can hear the guitar over the phone, but yeah, that's what he did.
We could. Jerry Reed was a string bender with two fingers sometimes, like Chuck Berry.
Oh,
I think.
Man.
Yeah.
Jerry would... One of the guys, too. He was a playwright, sing guy, the trifecta.
Sure. Bobby J. What do you have?
I was going to say, after the song, we'll hear Glenn in his own words talk about Jerry Reed's contribution to this song.
So 1977.
Oh, good.
Yep, 1977. Number one country, number one pop, Glenn Campbell's Southern Nights.
Southern Nights. Have you ever felt a Southern the trees, whistling tunes that you know and love so. Southern nights, just as good even when closed your eyes. I apologize to anyone who can truly say that he has found a better way. Southern sky.
Southern sky.
Well, its precious beauty lies just beyond the eye. It goes running through the soul like the stories told of old. Old man, he and his dog that walk the old land. Every flower touches his cold hand. He slowly walked by, weeping willows cry for joy. Feels so good, it's frightening, wish I could. Stop this world from fighting.
Southern Nights is a song to me that makes people feel good. It makes me feel good to sing it, you know. And I got to use a Jerry Reed lick he taught me in 1970. I got to use it in 1977. I waited, 7 years just to do.
Southern Nights, just as good even when closed your eyes.
Now, you had that riff, you heard that riff many years before?
Jerry taught it to me. I never could go play two things at once, but that's...
Feels so good, it's frightening.
So you're just riff. You're just waiting for the right moment to use it.
Oh, yeah, to use that riff.
Feels so good.
And I went... Down. All I did was add that.
It's unbelievable.
I've had more people ask me, show me that lick.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I'll show it to you like Jerry Reed showed it to me.
Did two things at once. It was worth the wait, Jeff, wasn't it, huh? Isn't that great?
Oh, man, you know what? You're choking me up with that clip because that's just Glenn backstage, and I was one of the people that said, show me a like that. Oh, man, you know, the guy was never one of those people that wouldn't share recipes. He'd show you.
Yeah.
You know?
Share recipes. I love that. Roger Miller was a good friend. Jerry Reed, of course. All the countries. Bobby Gentry, he hung with all these people. They were good friends, truly, weren't they?
They were. Roger Miller was the comic genius behind half of Glenn's jokes, I think, in the shows. He would often credit the writer. He'd say something funny. He'd say, thank you, Blake Clark, or thank you, Lonnie Shore.
Yeah.
Thank you, Roger Miller, was pretty much what it was. Roger had these, he'd say, I give my right arm to be ambidextrous. you know, those kinds of jokes. And everybody just like bust out. And he said, thank you, Roger Miller. And then he said, Roger Miller said, my first wife was such a bad cook, a swarm of flies got together and fixed the screen door.
Oh, wow.
He said, pygmies used to come all the way from the Amazon just to dip their arrows in her gravy.
Ooh, mercy, mercy, mercy.
And people are just falling out of their chairs because that's just Glenn. That's just that country boy Glenn, you know.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are so grateful for you, Jeff Dayton. Thank you. If you can ride along with us till the top of the hour, we'd appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Jeff
Dayton. Well, you know, you're talking about one of my favorite people of my whole life. He was like the uncle I never had. The other side of my dad, you know, just every older male mentor, friend you could pick, you know, uncle, brother, cousin. Mm. I mean, you just have that closeness with a guy. You ride airplanes with him. You're in trains. You're in shuttle buses. You're in, you know, tour buses. You're backstage. You're in catering. You're at his house. You're on the golf course. You're playing. I mean, just it didn't matter. He was, and then he's up there standing in the spotlight. And I remember being back in the darkness and in many stages. And that halo of white around him where you can see the dust and the silhouette of his body from behind. And you just, and you marvel and you go, geez, I'm standing here with one of the best ever.
You were living your bliss, weren't you, Jeff? Huh?
No, that is,
oh, man, you could feel it.
Yeah, I believe you.
Oh, man.
Back with Jeff Dayton as we remember Glenn Campbell right after this.
We are all aging. Healthcare can be complicated. If you're confused about your aging parents or your own healthcare benefits, make the free call to the Senior Linkage Line. You'll get objective help to understand and choose the benefits right for you. Call the Senior Linkage Line at 1-800-333-2433. That's 1-800-333-2433. You might get answers to questions you didn't know you had. Senior Linkage Line. We are aging.
I was 9 weeks along and didn't know what else to do.
I felt helpless and I didn't want to leave it up to her, but I didn't know what to do or say.
I didn't know there were other options available.
I didn't know it was a baby with a beating heart at 18 days.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. So often we get calls just like this from men and women seeking help and alternatives. Our 800 hotline connects callers to the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, as well as post-abortion assistance. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out on the web, ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
Timeless tastes and timeless ingredients are why people ask for Wolf's. So, which Wolf's will you ask for? The Strong Golden Belgian Style Ale is light-bodied, yet seductively strong warmer. Maybe it's the Berlin-style Weiss, the sour wheat ale that's dubbed the Champagne of the North. Or perhaps it's the German-style ale Weizenbach, the dark wheat ale brewed to Bach strength. Whichever, make sure you ask for Wolf's, Stillwater's original craft beer. Wolf Brewing Company, Stillwater, Minnesota. Go to wolfbrewing.com.
The 1920s were a golden age for baseball and custom-tailored clothing. That golden age is back at Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Make each visit uniquely yours with hats, suits, casual wear, and accessories. Visit their barbershop for a hot lather shave. It's the golden age again at Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at jaimes.com.
If you like what you hear on the Wolf Brewing Company All Request Show, let somebody know.
Better yet, step in at one of our fine sponsors and thank them for supporting the show. Sponsors like
Riley Tours,
Timely Expressions,
River Valley Ford,
My Pillow,
Defined Destinations,
Scandia Shores of Shoreview,
Pro-Life Across America,
Wayback Burger in Woodbury,
Jaime's Haberdashery,
and of course, the Wolf Brewing Company.
There's been a load of compromise.
The man who brought you Rhinestone Cowboy, Glenn Campbell. We will always remember.
But I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me. Like a rhinestone cowboy.
The tributes to Glenn Campbell coming in literally from around the world. and rightly so. Our tribute coming from a wonderful gentleman, a Minnesota native. Yes, Jeff Dayton of the Dayton family, by the way, the music side of the divide in the Dayton family. Jeff, a longtime musical collaborator with Glenn Campbell, was Glenn's guitarist and for 15 years leader of the Glenn Campbell Band. Jeff, thank you many times over for being with us today. We're going through, it would take, about 10, 12 hours to go through the entire Glenn Campbell songbook. But let's talk about a song from 1977, like Southern Nights was from 77, Sunflower. Interesting song. We get a lot of requests for it here. Can you tell us a bit about the song before we play it?
Well, it's just a pure, fun, up-tempo song, and Glenn was doing well with up-tempos, and I think that was part of the thing for him. You know, his artistic side was unfulfilled at that time. He had recorded a song called The Highwayman and titled an album called The Highwayman, and Capitol Records was not impressed. And, so Glenn was trying to get that stuff still heard by the world. That was a Jimmy Webb song. We can talk about it if you want. But
sure.
Sunflower came along, and it was just like a lot of fun. And what Glenn said about the last song, I just loved a feel-good song, and that's what Sunflower was.
That's it. Let's give it a spin right here.
All right.
Well, Glenn liked a feel-good song, and so do we, and that's a beauty right there from 1977. Sunflower, yeah, it broke the top 40 and went to number 4 on the country charts, as I say.
You know, there's a real Safeway Valley connection on that, by the way, in case you want to know.
Please, yes.
I was playing in a band called Wildwood, and we were at the Bungalow down there in Bayport, or whatever, that Lakeland, I forget where they called it. And that song was on the charts in
1977. Mm-hmm. Right.
Man, it might have come out as a single that year or the year after, and that's where I was playing. And we were in a band that was started by a guy named Bob Ringsdorf from Hudson. He was a science teacher, and his wife Linda played bass and sang. And when Sunflower came along, you know, there we were playing it every night, and I can still see the people dancing on the dance floor at the Bungalow.
That's a great
really puts the time in my mind. You know,
wonderful.
Puts a great era. Yeah.
Nice local connection, Jeffrey. Thank you. Well, let's change the mood here and talk about your song. It's so poignant. It's so beautiful in its sad way. And we're talking about the song you wrote as Glenn was in that long, slow, inexorable slide of Alzheimer's disease. You called your song Long, Slow Train Out of Town, a metaphor, of course. When did you compose it, and just what was the thought process here?
Well, it was right after I saw Glenn for the final time, and the feeling that when I was with him that he was there and trying to reach me and trying to break through this veil that was between him and what was really going on. He was in there, and I could feel it, and I was trying to get to him, and he was trying to get to me, and so there's a verse at the end about the last time that I saw him. And you'll get to hear that. And actually, a friend of mine had said that line. He said, "Man, he's on a long, slow train out of town." And I said, "Dude, that is such a great title. Can I write that song?" He said, "Take the title and go." And so he didn't even want a piece of the song, but I'm going to have to acknowledge that that was given to me. And once I had that in my mind, I stood in the swimming pool in my grandmother's old house in Fountain Hills, Arizona. And I spent about an hour and a half, you know, look, good thing I was in the swimming pool because I was crying buckets of tears and it caught them all. And as line after line would come to me, you know, a lifetime full of memories or empty boxcars now. And it was such a powerful feeling to have that song come to me, and it really all just happened in about 90 minutes.
I can't think of a more powerful tribute to Glenn Campbell than this one. You wrote it, Jeff. You sing it here. Here it is.
His room is full of letters, photographs and cards. His old friends come to visit, but he don't know who they are. A lifetime full of memories are empty boxcars now, on a long, slow train out of town. He was marked for greatness the day that he was born. He knows that he was famous, but he doesn't know what for. He stares out the window while another sun goes down, on a long, slow train out of town. We rode that road together, we cut across the sky. A thousand towns he conquered, one song at a time. His voice and that guitar put chill bumps on your skin. No, there's never been one like him, and never will again. Yeah, I loved him like an uncle, he raised me like a son. He taught me without teaching, just by watching what he'd done. All that wit and wisdom caught a one-way headed south, on a long, slow train out of town. Thinking, I wonder what he knows.
Hey, I wonder if he's wishing for one more Rhinestone Rodeo. Yeah, lonesome is the rider who can't turn back around on that long, slow train out of town. In a lifetime full of memories are empty boxcars now on a long, slow train out of town.
Jeff Dayton, I can tell you that Glenn Campbell would be deeply touched if he could have heard that song. Just amazing. You wrote it. You sang it on behalf of all of us, legions of people who love Glenn Campbell. Thank you for doing that. Beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Honored to have been close enough to him to write that.
Oh, boy. You know what? I hear your voice in there. I hear Glenn Campbell's voice in your voice. It's just amazing. Yep. Sometimes it does come through.
You.
Does come through. Osmosis or whatever it is. I think simply love one human being for another. It's just great. I want to ask you quickly, Jeff Dayton, just a couple of minutes left here. Glenn Campbell's last record was Adios. Is that correct? Released this summer?
I believe so. I have not actually had a chance to listen to it yet.
Yeah, okay. I think, Bobby, do we have a little sample here? If you don't mind, Jeffrey, we'll hear it here. Adios, a bit of it. Okay.
Ran away from home when I was 17 to be with you on the California coast. Drinking margaritas all night in the old cantina out on the California coast. Don't think that I'm ungrateful. Don't look so morose. Adios. Adios. We never really made it, baby, but we came pretty close. Adios, adios.
Glenn Campbell, adios. Jeff Dayton, perhaps a fitting way to wrap up the show today.
Yeah, and if you get a chance later on, you can play one of his songs from the Ghost on the Canvas album called A Better Place, and that's Glenn saying goodbye.
Yeah.
He says, you know, a better place, but wait, you'll see. Had a beautiful song, yeah.
You're a beautiful guy, Jeff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't have the words to thank you. None of us do here, but you've added immeasurably to our tribute to Glenn Campbell. Stop it and see us next time you're in the Twin Cities, will you please, Jeff?
I appreciate that, guys. And thank you, everybody, right there at your station, Stan, and everybody, Bobby, and everybody. You know, thanks for loving Glenn and sharing it with the world.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Jeff. I'm going to go out here with some words from Jimmy Webb, that great songwriter who was such a great collaborator with Glenn Campbell. Jimmy wrote, I'm full of grief. I'm writing because I think you, Glenn Campbell, deserve some sort of message from me, but I am too upset to write very well or at any great length. It's like waking up in the morning in some Kafka-esque novella and finding that half of you is missing. This I can promise. While I can play a piano, he will never be forgotten. And after that, someone else will revel in his vast library of recordings and pass them on to how many future generations? Possibly to all of them. With love, Jimmy Webb. There we are. Thank you again, Jeff. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Yep, thank you, Jeff. And as we head out, Jeff, it's the song you requested, Glenn Campbell, doing A Better Place.
I've tried and I have failed, Lord. I've won and I have lost. I've lived and I have loved, Lord.
sometimes at such a cost. One thing I know, the world's been good to me, a better place awaits, you'll see. Some days I'm so confused, Lord. My past gets in my way. I need the ones I love, Lord, more and more each day. A better place.